This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Saint Francis of Assisi is reported to have said, "Preach the gospel. When necessary, use words." Today, brothers and sisters in Christ, the gospel will indeed be preached by our observance of All Saints' Day, by the baptisms that we'll witness later on, and maybe to a lesser extent in this sermon. How filling it is for us that our first reading from Revelation chapter 7 references all the saints that worship the Lamb of God. We are connected to them, and they're connected to us through our baptisms. In our second reading, St. John reminds us that we're all God's children. Whatever joy or comfort that gives us now is just a prelude to the glory that we'll share when Christ is finally revealed. In other words, the best is yet to come. And of course, there in our gospel lesson, it's from Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. It's from Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. And at its heart, it's a lesson on how different the kingdom of God is from the worldly kingdom. In the kingdom of God, the poor in spirit, or the humble, are blessed. Well, it seems like the world rewards aggression, conquest, and violence. Yet in the kingdom of God, it's the merciful, the meek, and those who mourn. They're the ones that are blessed. I think the Sermon on the Mount is just a great lesson in how different life is in the kingdom of God compared to the dog-eat-dog worldly kingdom. And as wonderful and as appropriate these readings are, I was surprised this week as I was preparing for this sermon that the Spirit kept drawing my eye to our psalm of the day, especially those last two verses. The psalmist says, "I sought the Lord who answered me and delivered me from all my terrors. Look upon the Lord and be radiant, and let not your faces be ashamed." These are two little verses, but they have such richness to them. They're specific teachings almost in each phrase. And they seem really appropriate for All Saints' Day, and especially for the baptisms that we celebrate today. So I want to just look at this passage a little bit. Try to connect them to this day and to our mission together as the people of Mountain of Faith. Right off the bat, the psalmist speaks of the value of seeking God. "I sought the Lord," he says. This is really a countercultural message for us. Our culture calls us to be like the hero in the poem Invictus that says, always focused on the self, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. I. Doesn't leave much room for God, does it? But when we're humble enough, when we're what in our gospel lesson is called poor in spirit, then we're free to actually seek God out. We'd be open to God's instruction in our lives. And when we are, God doesn't disappoint. The psalmist tells us, I sought the Lord who answered me. And how wonderful it is that God not only answers, but that God acts in our lives, acts to deliver us from all our terrors. Comforting and consoling this message is, huh? You think those saints robed in white from our first reading from Revelation, that those saints that came out of the great ordeal, do you think they might have faced terrors in their life? Do you think that each and every one of us in our own way faces terrors in our life as we try to go about our daily business? Thanks be to God that when we seek Him, God answers and then delivers us from the things that terrify. And I don't think we ought to make the mistake here that we're only speaking metaphorically. And maybe our candidates for baptism can relate to this. There is a comfort in being adopted into God's family, that's for sure. But today might well include a little terror also. You know, a child trying to make sense of some big old pastor coming at them with a fistful of water. Think that might be a little terrifying? There's no picnic for the adults today either. Wondering about all the ramifications that come from putting on a new life in Christ. You think that might be a little daunting? Maybe even a little terrifying? Maybe. But what grace, what love God shows when He delivers us from all the terrors of our lives. I was especially moved by that final verse in our psalm, verse 5. It says, we're to look upon the Lord and be what? Radiant. It's a perfect word for this context. Radiant speaks to so many aspects of being a child of God. What I like about it is that it leaves no doubt whatsoever as to what the source of this radiance is. It's God. As we look upon the Lord, the glory of the Lord is reflected in our faces. And we radiate God's glory and love. Okay. One of my favorite pictures of Matt when he was little. Maybe he's 4 years old at the time. It's taken by a friend of ours, Laura, at sunset in the Columbia River Gorge. It's a close-up picture. And the setting sun was hitting him full in the face. And he just seemed to glow with this reflected light of the sun. And I think that's what we do in our encounter with God. We reflect God's light and love. And I think the psalmist chose a great word when he was inspired to tell us to look upon the Lord and be radiant. You look radiant up in the dictionary, especially when it's used in relation to people. It means to project or glow with cheerfulness and joy. And isn't that exactly the way it should be for people of God? Shouldn't our faces and our lives reflect God's radiance to the world through our joy? Two passages from the Hebrew Scriptures suggest to me that this call to look upon the Lord and be radiant is not just some figure of speech. The book of Exodus tells us how God spoke to Moses face to face as a friend speaks to a friend. And how when Moses came down from Mount Sinai after speaking directly to God to get the Ten Commandments, how his face literally shone. Exodus 34, verse 29 reads this way. It says, Moses came down from Mount Sinai as he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand. Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking to God. Even though Moses was unaware of it, his face shone so brightly that it drove the Israelites to distraction. He had to put a veil over his face to keep them from being unsettled by his appearance. Moses reflected God's glory in a literal, physical way. And I wonder if you realize that I ask you to spiritually reflect God's light every week when I offer the Lord's benediction at the end of our service. It's really a prayer for God's blessing. And did you know that it's almost word for word out of the book of Numbers in the Old Testament? In Numbers chapter 6, verse 25, the Lord instructed Moses to have all the priests in Israel to bless the people of Israel with these words, "The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you." It's fitting for us to close our worship service with this same blessing because it reminds us to reflect God's love into the world all week long as His face shines upon us. As we go about our kingdom business, we, maybe like Moses, aren't always aware of how brightly we reflect God's light. So I guess I'd like to leave you with one last thought. Let's take seriously that very last phrase in today's psalm. The psalmist encourages us to be radiant and let not your faces be ashamed. This fits so well with what happens in baptism. When Paul says in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, he means it. He means it when he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has gone away. See, everything has become new. Baptism is a channel of God's grace through which we receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life. We're washed clean in the waters of baptism. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, God's Word with ordinary water come together in such a way as to wash us and make us fit to stand blameless and without shame before God. When God looks at us, He no longer sees us as children of a fallen humanity with a curse on us from our sin and from our past. Instead, when God looks on us after our baptism, He sees glory, radiant glory. The glory is of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. God now sees the glory of Jesus reflected in our faces. And He's ready and willing to welcome us with open arms into His household. We're fit now to take our place among the communion of saints. We're fit to be standing in front of God, unashamed. We're fit now to live kingdom lives and to let God use us in building the kingdom. Today, let's give thanks for the gift of All Saints Day and especially for the gift of baptism, which we celebrate. Amen.